Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash. And Potsy, coming up on Hallis Intrigue, we will talk about the Bears' first-round pick, about what they could have done, and what they might do next. All that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Potsy, it is 12:11 a.m. You and I are still inside Hallis Hall, processing what the Bears did with their first-round pick. They woke up on Thursday morning with the number 9 pick. They went to bed. Well, they will go to bed at some point tonight, I guess, with an extra 4th-round pick next season, which is what they got to move back from number 9 to number 10. And with it, they picked up Darnell Wright, the right tackle from Tennessee. What do you think?
Well, the Bears got the guy they wanted. I think this is the 27th straight year since I've been covering Bears drafts. So the Bears have gotten the guy they wanted. It always works out that way, but it never works out for the Bears. But this is a new era, and you know, all I can say is that, you know, I'm not an expert. I don't know. Darnell Wright was not like one of the four. He was not the top guy.
He was 3 or 4.
Yeah. And so again, I go back to what I'm saying. I don't know how else to put it. I'm relying on Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham's background as offensive linemen and their intuition about, yeah, you know, how they fit into this offensive system, that this will work. I have no idea whether this was the right or wrong pick, or a good or bad pick, how it will work out. But I think I guess what I get out of it is they took a lineman with the 10th pick in the draft. And that's good. I think that's advancement for the Bears. The Bears have neglected offensive tackles in particular in the top 10. They've had, like, I think 10 over the last how many years. And in general in the first round. And at least now they're trying to get trying to develop anchor tackles. So I think they've got a good combination here with Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright, and it's a chance. Will it work? I have no idea if it'll work out. But I applaud the move. Let's put it that way. The key thing we'll talk about, I guess, is that the Bears did pass on Jalen Carter, which a little bit of a surprise, maybe not. But I will say, unless Jalen Carter turns into Aaron Donald, which is always a possibility, I think this has a chance to be, you know, to not make Poles look as bad as, let's say, Trubisky over Mahomes made Pace look bad.
I think that right tackles are more valuable today than they've ever been, but they're still not left tackles. And we can sit here and say, good for the Bears for drafting a tackle. It's the highest tackle they've drafted since Jimbo Covert, right? Hall of Famer.
Yes.
So pretty good company. It also shows how long it's been since they put any real investment in the position. But they did put the investment in a guy who profiles better as a right tackle.
But it's played left tackle.
He played left tackle.
In theory,
2 years
they
ago.
Could switch anyway. Although, yeah, I think the reason they got right is because he's played some right tackle. The other said, I think it's one that probably swayed. But I'll be honest. I don't know how big a deal that is. I think the biggest thing is that they have a guy who, you know, they're not hoping for even Braxton Jones to become a starter or Charles Leno to become an All-Pro. Any of the 5th, 6th, 7th rounders they've had who have been like the lead tackles on this team. So it's a good chance for a win. It's a good chance for a win. I'd be surprised if it was like an Alex Leatherwood type of crap out. I don't think it will be that. Mm-hmm. But I think you have a right to be positive. If you're a Bears fan, you have a right to think this is a step in the right direction.
The Bears have spent, well, a certain corner of Bears fandom, Potsy, has since, I don't know, October 1st, been rooting for the Bears to lose so they could get a high draft pick. And granted, the Bears got the number 1 pick. They turned around and they traded it. And then they traded the number 9 again today. In terms of excitement, in terms of sexiness, the Bears have gone from number 1 overall to number 9 overall to a right tackle. And along the way, you know, picked up DJ Moore, a good move. Picked up future picks from the Panthers, a good move. But if you're looking for something to wrap your arms around Friday morning as a fan, I think this is hard for some of the Bears fans who are excited to finally see the fruits of their tanking labor.
Yeah, because it's a right tackle and not a player whose production you can quantify.
Well, and also because it's a right tackle, not a left tackle, because it's not the local kid Skoronski from Notre Dame and from Park Ridge.
Yeah,
because it's not maybe the Ohio State kid Paris Johnson who Buzz really built on him and he wound up going super high. I have no doubt that he could be that the Bears believe he's going to be a quality player. I don't know that there's a lot of sizzle in the
there. Well, there is no sizzle. Sizzle does not always get you what you want. I'll say this, Pat. Until further notice, I still think the Bears are better off going 3-14 than winning 4 more games and having the 13th pick in the draft. Until I'm convinced otherwise, that's my stand.
Was that your stand all season?
I've been a proponent. I was a proponent of since it happened.
Sure. Right,
yes. I mean, if the Bears would have had 4 more wins, mm-hmm. you would have had a little bit more knowledge that your quarterback could win games, mm-hmm. but you would have had the 13th pick in the draft. You wouldn't have DJ Moore. Sure. Okay. You wouldn't have a couple other picks. Okay. Sure. I don't know who they could have gotten at 13. It actually could have been a wide receiver who would have excited people, right?
Could have been Darnell Wright.
Whatever. But all I'm saying is that, like I said, until further notice, I think getting the number one pick was better than winning 4 more games. And we'll see. I could be wrong. Maybe if it turns out that this team just can't win, and say, well, we knew that last year.
I will make a devil's it's late at night.
Devil's advocate?
Advocate. Oh, my gosh, Potsy, it's too late. Here's a devil's advocate argument for you. Let's say the Bears don't lose their last 9 games after trading Roquan Smith. Let's say that they keep Roquan. Let's say that Justin Fields makes a play or two at the end of games. Let's say that they're more a middle-class team in the NFL than they finished out. Are you comfortable putting Jalen Carter on that team? Because it seems to me like the Bears weren't for a lot of reasons, but I think one of the reasons, and Ryan Poles had talked about it before, was that maybe this team was too young and too new to be able to handle a controversial player or an immature player. Would this roster have been better able to handle it if they had gone through some of the rigors that included winning last year?
Well, they wouldn't have been in position to, though. I mean, they never were. They wouldn't have gotten Jalen Carter if they had won.
Yeah, that's why it's a devil's advocate thing. I mean, if they were sitting at,
they couldn't. But that wasn't even. I won't even say it's a hypothetical, but that would not have ensued, because if you win more games and you don't get Jalen Carter, I don't think it would have made a difference. I'll be honest, I'm a little dubious. That's one of those narratives that sounds good. The Eagles have a locker room and a team that can handle a controversial guy like Jalen, an immature player like Jalen Carter who needs to grow up, and that the Bears do not. That sounds good, and I just don't know. I think it's one of those things I buy into, and it's kind of not right. I mean, I just think it might be BS. I think the Bears have players like Eddie Jackson and Jalen Johnson, mm-hmm. and some players anyway, even some of their newcomers, right? T.J. Edwards, mm-hmm. and Tremaine Edmonds.
Yes,
and players who have said, I think they have enough players who could help nurture this guy. I mean, that's something that's a narrative that's on paper sounds right, but I'm not sure if I actually buy that. Mm-hmm. So that's just my opinion.
So when the number nine pick came up Thursday night, the Bears were sitting there. Jalen Carter was available. They decided to trade down one spot with the Eagles.
Right.
The Eagles give them a 4th round pick next year, which is patooey. It's not much.
Could be Eddie Jackson.
It could be Eddie Jackson.
Could be Nick Kwiatkowski.
But in the world of
D.M. Bush.
It might be and we can look this up, Potsy. I wonder the last time that a top 10 pick has been traded, and the only differential is that fourth round pick the following year. That's the equivalent.
You don't think you got enough for that? Is that what you're saying?
What else
could they have gotten for one?
I don't know. I mean, it's the equivalent of a 5th round pick this year. What I'm saying is that I think that they saw a value and letting another team take Jalen Carter in front of them versus passing on Jalen Carter. And I think that they knew that the Eagles were going to take him, and that's why they made the move. And you get a little something for your trouble, so you can say you got a little something for your trouble. But what they got is not a difference-making thing.
No, but I mean, it doesn't really matter. The point is they had an opportunity to draft Jalen Carter, and they chose not to.
We talked to Ryan Poles super late tonight, Potsy, and asked him a couple of different times about Carter. He didn't want to comment on a guy who's not the Bears, or who's not with the Bears.
And usually they don't, but I think that's an exception. I think that's a guy who, like I said, was, you know, the top player in the draft. Supposedly, just an absolute, you know, there are, out of 32 teams, I don't know if a team needs a three technique like Eberflus. Let's put it that way. I'm not saying he's the only one, but all I'm saying is it was just, I mean, it was such an obvious thing. I thought, frankly, he would, from what we've seen of Ryan Poles, I thought he would at least address that, especially the way they addressed it beforehand.
Right.
That was weird that they addressed it so, I mean, it didn't not concisely or pointedly, but still address the question in the pre-draft thing, but not tonight. I mean, that was a little disappointing. I mean, I get it. You know, he's asked about Skowronski. He didn't say much about
also, like,
either.
But here's the thing. We all know what's going on here. We don't need him to say something out loud in order for us to go.
He made it clear enough that character issue was what.
And that's what he said was kind of speaking generally, character is important.
And you know something, Pat? That's like, I think Bears fans should feel better about that because it worked out how it was going to work out. If Jalen Carter did not have a character issue, he would have been gone anyway.
Yeah.
They made that decision when they decided to drop down from, instead of 4, down to 9.
Mm-hmm.
So they really weren't going to get him if he wasn't a risk. The only way this can really blow up on the Bears is if he comes in as a character risk and turns out there's nothing at all wrong with him. Mm-hmm. And I go back to like the Randy Moss thing. Now, Randy Moss is a little bit different. His character issues were all before he got to college. They were high school.
Right.
They were a little more serious. Well, no, they can't say they were more serious, but it was, you know, it was a character. So Randy Moss said, hey, I am going to be fine. And, you know, he had his moments, but by and large, any team could have taken him.
What's the worst thing he did in the NFL? He mooned somebody?
Yeah, right. I mean, he had that one little problem at the end of Minnesota, Oakland.
You're right.
He had a little bit of a downturn, and I don't know if he was necessarily a bad guy, but he was not the same guy. And then he was re-energized when he went to and became a Hall of Famer when he went to New England. But anyway, he was a guy who, you thought he had these characters, and it turns out, no. And now he's like, he's a better character guy. He's a better guy now. He's a more likable guy now than all the players the Bears drafted. The first round picks they drafted in that era.
Do you think that Darnell Wright, for the rest of his career, is going to be viewed by Bears fans as the guy they got instead of Jalen Carter?
Yeah, well, I think they'll be compared. Absolutely. Oh, sure. Absolutely. I think that. You can't
for
help
the same
do
reason that Bryce Young is going to, the Bears fans are going to watch Bryce Young for the rest of his career and sit there and go, we could have had him.
And even that's not quite the same thing because it's hard to go to Bryce Young when you've got Justin Fields. That's a harder turn to make. I get that you can still, you know, evaluate him. It's like, you know, if he's, you know, it'd be like if you had Justin Fields and Patrick Mahomes out there, you know, that's a tougher one. This one was a little more obvious,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
This is not even like a, you know, Skowronski or Paris Johnson, you know what I'm saying? It's not even those either ors aren't compared. They could have taken this guy or that guy. This is even more direct. This is a guy who, like I said, was one of the, could have been the top player in the entire draft, was a absolute perfect fit for your defense. And really, to answer your question, yes, until he will be always, these two guys will always be compared. Here's what they could have had. And it's kind of similar to the Mahomes and Trubisky thing. And that just totally blew up. Even though it wasn't at the time, it was Deshaun Watson and Trubisky.
Yeah, that went from a two-man argument to a one-man argument.
We've kind of moved the goalposts a little bit on that one. But,
sure.
But also because, and not to belabor this, but because when you're looking at a quarterback, a good and astute GM would have known that Patrick Mahomes was going to be Patrick Mahomes. That's their job. But anyway, I'm getting off track here. But I just think, to answer your question, those two guys will be compared, and we'll see what happens. I think it's more likely that they're both good.
Yeah.
You know, the other one was just a total disaster. The one where, you know, Mahomes and even Watson for a while. I mean, and maybe still it will end up being a huge disparity. But this, I think, will be like, hey, you know, they're getting a player, and I said this before, I think earlier in the podcast, they're getting a player that they really needed, at a position they really needed, that they had neglected, the previous GMs have neglected. This is a good, that's a good thing. And if he works out, I think it's going to be tougher. I think Jalen Carter's going to have to be Aaron Donald for it to be a loss for Ryan Poles.
And we haven't said the word Justin Fields yet, so we'll say the word Justin Fields. This is obviously good news for him. He might not.
I think I said Justin Fields when we were talking about the tanking.
Oh, okay. Yeah maybe so. Yeah. This is obviously good news for Justin. Real quick, Posse, before we get out of here, let's talk about why they did like him. I don't want this to be all about Jalen Carter.
Right.
One of the stories that both Wright and Ryan Poles told was that Ryan Poles and offensive line coach Chris Morgan flew down to Tennessee the day before Easter and put him through what sounds like a pretty miserable workout. Putting him through classroom stuff.
Threw him in the deep end of the pool.
Yep, that's what Ryan Poles said, and saw that he could swim. You know, they did classroom stuff, they did positional drills, then they like just ran him to death, made him do up downs, and then did more drills, changed plays on the fly, tested him mentally, and were really happy with what they saw. I like the image of Ryan Poles in shorts standing out on the field in Knoxville, Tennessee, watching his O-line coach just give the business to this guy. I think that that's a I like that the GM was hands-on, and I like that they lean on a coach who they obviously respect a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah.
There were regimes here that would make decisions about players without including the head coach. So this is different.
It wouldn't surprise me if this is a Chris Morgan pick. I mean, I think they trust him enough that if he liked him that much, they'd go that direction. So I think that had a lot to do with it. But, we'll see. I think it's good. Again, it goes back to Poles being an offensive lineman himself and kind of knowing it. I don't know if he would have really done that for a wide receiver, mm-hmm. Or a defensive back or whatever. And again, I hate to keep saying it, but it's just the trust factor. You trust that this guy knows what he's doing. And I think we'll see fairly quickly, because top 10 pick should be a starting player as a rookie. In fact, a week one starter.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think it's been 30 years since a top 10 offensive tackle has not started as a rookie. And that doesn't mean they're always good. Sometimes they, like Alex Leatherwood, they kind of peter out. Mm-hmm. That'll be at least an early indication. And we saw, we saw from Braxton Jones how quickly a fifth-round pick. I mean, it wasn't like he won it by default.
Right.
Or almost the opposite. They brought in people to beat him out, and he still kept the job. But that was one of the quickest ascensions we've seen at Hallis Hall in the offseason. I can't remember exactly what it was when he was all of a sudden the first team left tackle. But it was pretty quick. If a fifth-rounder like that could – what about a guy who's got first-round talent?
Yeah.
So we'll get an early indication of whether they're right, pretty early.
All he's got to do is beat out Larry Borum as the roster is currently constructed.
Yeah.
Potsy, the Bears will wake up on Friday with picks number 53 and 61 in round two. Boy, it'd be nice to have pick number 32, but they traded that. And then they have pick number 64 in round three. I won't get too deep into the list of prospects that are available, but I will tell you that there will be a story up on the Sun-Times website Friday morning doing exactly that. But
thank
I will
you
ask you, in terms of positions, where do you go from here?
You gotta go defensive line.
Yeah.
Pretty obvious. And I think not only do they have to go defensive line, they might have to like move up. They might have to wheel and deal a little bit. I mean, they
got to go pretty far up, though. That's the problem.
I wish I would have asked. I mean, I guess we'll get polls the next couple of days, but man. Who's their, who's their starting defensive line? Is it the same as last year, except for?
No, I mean
DeMarcus Walker.
Yes, DeMarcus Walker, Justin Jones, the Raider kid that they got, the nose tackle.
Yeah, so they need a lot of they need a lot of help there. So I think it's pretty obvious what they need. The only question is, will they move up? And I remember talking to Kuiper about this on one of those teleconferences, and there was players he liked. There were some players that he liked. A couple of LSU, who are the two LSU guys? Ojulari.
Yeah, Ojulari's still available.
And his teammate, who he really liked, thought he was the most underrated guy. But I've also read scouting reports say that he's a future, he's raw, whatever. But anyway, they have to, I'm not an expert at that, obviously, but they need to address their defensive line and early, because they need to get, they kind of need to get starting players. I mean, mm-hmm. you can get that in the second round, mm-hmm. but... higher up you go, the better chance you have. So that's what I see happening is defensive line tackle and with a strong possibility of moving up to get somebody they really like.
I'm going to put you on the spot real quick, and then we'll go. I know how much you love
on the spot. Yeah, just whatever it is.
Chase Young might be available.
From the Redskins or the Commanders?
Yes, how dare you.
Sorry.
Is 1 year of Chase Young at an expensive contract and a flyer to see whether he might work, is that worth to you either of the second-round picks or a third-round pick?
I don't know. They're so scheme specific. I'd have to know more about the player and how he fits. Yeah. You
and
know,
I'd have to know that. I'd have to see the medicals on Chase Young's knee.
Yeah. My guess is that's a chance they will not take or would not want to take.
It feels like even if they hit on him as an edge rusher, that all that does is buy them the privilege of paying him a ton of money next year.
Yeah, which wouldn't be the worst thing. Right. But I just don't. I'll say this. On the offensive line and the defensive line, I don't think they're nearly as panicky as those of us on the outside who watch the team and root for the team, you know, fans. I don't think the Bears are nearly as panicky about those situations as others are. Mm-hmm. Not that they're right, but they could be totally wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I don't think they feel the need to. I don't think they call that a panic move or make a bold move or maybe something they wouldn't do in a normal course.
I hope they feel a little pressure because that front seven was among the worst front sevens the Bears have ever had.
I know, but, I don't mean to give you a company line, but I'm sure that's what it is. But also on offense, they're going to be in the second year and there's going to be some improvement. I'm not saying you can try out the same guys and be better, but I'm saying there are other factors involved and you've got other better players and we'll see. So, but no doubt, don't get me wrong. They need help,
right.
And I think they're going to get that in the second round, and like I said, maybe even trading up.
Last question, Potsy. One of the favorite things you do of mine, or I'll rephrase, it's late. One of my favorite things of yours that you do is post-game grades. I know that you have issues with them. I'm going to ask you for a post-game grade of tonight. What do you give trading back, getting a fourth-round pick next year, and taking Darnell Wright?
I would say that is a B.
Yep, exactly what I would say. And I think that it's not sexy, but it fills a position of need.
Yeah.
And again, it's always the question. The follow-up question is always going to be, what happened to Jalen Carter?
Yeah.
And only time will tell on that. Potsy, it's time for us to drive home and try and get some sleep before returning to Hallis Hall on Friday. In the interim, you can follow Mark and I and Jason Leecher on Twitter. You can check us out on the Sun-Times website and in print. And please like, rate, and review the podcast. He is Mark Potash. I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.